Endless meetings where no one pays attention? You had me at endless meetings. Just make sure there's coffee and preferably donuts. We miss you, Jim Tudor. Jim Tudor is the former lobbyist for the Association of Convenience Stores that used to keep the press rooms.
He still does.
Somebody does. I honestly can't remember who his replacement is. I'm not living at the Capitol. We send John down there every day now, so I don't have to. The people at the Capitol thank him for that. And donuts are good. We like donuts. So we can all agree on that. As coming out of the last segment, Speaker Ralston said, let's focus on what we agree on. Donuts. Donuts are the start of diplomacy in any corporate or political situation. Presidential politics. We had New Hampshire this week, and the best way I could say about New Hampshire is I think we finally found Hillary Clinton's reset button, at least on the Republican side, because it seemed like we just completely wiped out what happened in Iowa, and we're back to a splintered field that, while it's consolidated the candidates that had less than zero chance, it's kept several others that have zero chance in the race. And I'm speaking specifically of Jeb Bush and possibly John Kasich, although Kasich gets the opportunity now for at least a state or two, which really will end up being much more than two, to see if he can break through and get any delegates. Jeb Bush, in my opinion, has already he spent $100 million already and has nothing to show for it. Is his highest finish fourth, John? I mean,
right, yeah,
what's your take? We'll start with the Republican side before we let Stefan explain that other process.
Bush has spent a ton of money, and I know I saw a tweet sometime this week that said if he wanted to get as many delegates as he would need to win the primary race and become the nominee, he'd need to spend something like $23 billion at his current burn rate, which seems to be highly unlikely.
It would lift the economy, and President Obama would get credit for it. That's the kind of stimulus package that would be happening there.
Everyone in the Republican race is pretty much ignoring the 800-pound gorilla in the room that is Donald Trump. And it is because the quote-unquote establishment candidates of Kasich, Rubio, Bush, and Christie, although Christie finally did drop out, have all been fighting for second place. And, of course, for those of us who have been around in politics for a long time, second place gets you zero governing power. They've been basically doing a circular firing squad as Donald Trump sits up there with a 72% chance of winning the South Carolina primary I just saw from Nate Silver on 538.
Well, let's focus in on Donald Trump because he's came in second in Iowa, which made him a loser. I love saying that. Donald Trump is a loser. But he came back and he was a winner in New Hampshire. And so the narrative is already back. Is Trump now unstoppable? And it was tweeted by the Atlanta Banana, our local version of The Onion, for those of you familiar. Want to know if I was still going to be on record as saying Trump will not be the nominee. And I still believe he won't. And the simple reason that you can be a winner if you only need to get 30% of the votes. And that's why the field is going to get, after South Carolina, I believe you're going to see a lot of intense pressure on what I would call traditional Republicans from all corners of the party to finally realize there is no way, not only for the party, but for the country, that you can let a man that is a total weather vane of moral standing, issues, principle, reason, anything. I mean, no one knows what you're electing except a strong man that has already said he basically doesn't care about the Constitution and he can change his mind at any point he wants to. Just like he just became a conservative, he can do it again. And so I think you will actually see even people from the Ted Cruz spectrum to the Jeb Bush, John Kasich spectrum of the Republican Party have to figure out how they're going to get one person up against Trump, because Trump's numbers don't go much higher than 30%.
And
got to clear this field so that Donald Trump can quickly become a loser again.
And of course, of the folks who are left, because we did lose Christie, you've got Rubio, who has got the highest favorables, so that's something going in his favor. That's the problem with Bush. Bush has very high unfavorables, which makes it much more difficult, A, for him to become the more popular candidate, and B, to win the general election. John Kasich, unfortunately for him, has got the approval of more Medicaid funds from Obamacare, and that does not make him a real favorite of much, particularly in the South. As he comes south, he spent all of his effort up in New Hampshire, did very well for what he could do, but wasn't that far ahead of the other candidates.
So, just from a pure pragmatic standpoint, you've got to look at this and think Rubio is still sitting well if he can have a good debate, which he needs to kind of show to recover from the last one. But Donald Trump's, as you just said, his unfavorables, the people that don't like him are off the chart. Ted Cruz has made his entire career attacking Republicans, and so he is owed nothing. And that's why every time someone attacks him, it's, oh, my God, the establishment's attacking me. But, you know, Cruz has not built any bridges to get support out of this. Then you go to the other end of the spectrum. Jeb Bush, his last name is Bush, and he started out with $100 million. He inherited it, if you want to say it that way, not just his name, and no results for it. Then there's John Kasich, who has been running the entire race with the John Weaver campaign manager, John Huntsman. We're going to be the adult in the room. You don't win over people that don't like you by condescending to them, and that means I'm talking down to you, as the meme went from the last race. So Rubio's the one with the most upside, but he's got to earn it, and he can't have another debate. Like, it was his to lose, and that debate definitely set him back. I don't know if he lost it. So that's my take on the Republican race right now. I would still say your outside favorite has to be Rubio, but he's got to do what he has to do to get the people that naturally don't like all the other candidates. He just is the guy kind of in the middle without the negatives.
Interesting. One more thing interesting to note of Georgia interest is that Alex Poitevant, who was the basically the guy who ran Sonny Perdue's campaign and worked very hard for David Perdue, has now come out, and he's fully on the Rubio camp.
So I will be scouring my email from Cowee County to label him one more establishment person not supporting Ted Cruz. So
what about the Democrats, Stephen?
Stephen, explain.
I bet you guys are wishing you had a superdelegate system right about now.
The democratic process.
I have heard so much
of the people.
Hey, listen. When you get this is, I mean, you guys have two main candidates. You got a clown car, and you know there's clearly no room for the adults in your kindergarten class.
You're the one that believes more than one choice is too much in a capitalist system. It wastes resources.
Well, I mean, we can all agree that a dictatorship is the most efficient system.
And
so
your dictatorship chose one candidate, not the one that's the socialist.
Well, right? I mean, we tried to have two candidates. We just thought one of them wasn't going to be that good. And unfortunately, now we've got a real fight on our hands.
Unfortunately, the other one was worse. Go ahead and say it.
Oh, no, that's terrible. I don't even know which one we're talking about anymore. I'm so confused by our rhetoric. But, yeah, so Bernie and Hillary going to South Carolina, a place neither of them would choose to go if this were not a presidential campaign. Very excited about this because it's the first time African-Americans are actually going to play a large role in determining who wins a Democratic primary. And that's important because Georgia has a very strong African-American base.
And I'm sure they're excited about the opportunity to choose between two old white people.
Oh, I'm sure they're thrilled. Bernie Sanders, who last time he set foot in the South, he was a freedom rider. And then Hillary Clinton, who, if it weren't for Bill, probably wouldn't have come south of the Mason-Dixon line. So it's a great choice that we've got going on. But honestly, I think that compared to the Republicans, I think we're all happy with our candidates. There are obviously some staunch Bernie people that don't like Hillary and some staunch Hillary people that don't like there's some staunch Bernie people that don't like Clinton and some staunch Clinton people that don't like Bernie. But for the most part, most people are like, okay, we've got some good people with some good ideas, and we can move forward on that. The real question is whether or not Bernie Sanders can start winning African-American votes.
Well, I don't know if I asked you this last time you were in here, but let's just go back to, again, the vote in both Iowa and New Hampshire, where Hillary Clinton barely tied in Iowa. She was destroyed in New Hampshire. The Live Free or Die State just voted a majority of your party for the socialist, which is kind of not exactly living free. But do Democrats not have a bigger problem with the disconnect of their grassroots voter and their establishment choice than Republicans do, as evidenced by Donald Trump getting a third of the vote, but Bernie Sanders getting at or above majority?
Well, I'd take a couple issues with that. One, the first is that if there are fewer candidates, we're all going to assume that they're going to coalesce behind someone other than Donald Trump. But it's certainly possible as people fall away that Donald Trump actually starts to get some of their support. And so in that, I don't think it's entirely an all-fours comparison. But overall, you're right, which is that our sort of chosen nominee, or what everyone thought was going to be the nominee, is having a very difficult time with retail politics and having a very difficult time connecting with a lot of the voters that we used as part of our coalition in 2008.
If the voters would just read the script that her campaign people give them, then they wouldn't be having this problem. She's willing to connect with them anytime they want, as long as they sign the disclosure.
I like this system that we're currently doing of using 70-year-old women to browbeat young women to go towards Hillary Clinton. That seems to be incredibly effective in my experience.
I think you have to add on the Republican side both Trump and Cruz as being the anti-establishment
But let's be honest. The Cruz people are anti-establishment in name only. Let's figure out if there's an acronym for that, because it is a established wing of the Republican Party that has been around for a generation that does nothing but attack establishment.
But again, he has managed to tap onto the anger
of people that
attend
party meetings, get involved in the system, all the way up to district Republican Party chairman, convention delegates. The people that are saying they're anti-establishment Cruz people, half of them lack complete self-awareness of knowing they are the establishment.
Okay, right. But one of the problems with Reverend Blowfish and his crew is that if you look at Ted Cruz and you look at Donald Trump and you look at the sort of acolytes along there, and Rubio was going towards that as well, you're looking almost at a majority of the Republican Party that is taken up with this sort of emotional white culture thing, and that's getting to be a real problem.
White culture is a real problem. That's the final thought of the day from our Democratic politics editor, taken out of context, but still, it's what we do.
I didn't mean Hank Williams.
You're the one wearing the white shirt, though.
It's true.
It's better than
purple
the brown
tie.
Shirts. Go, Trump, go. Let's just end this there before I say something that probably is going to get us kicked off the air.
Do it. Say it. Let's hear it.
No, we will not call anyone names. That's for the Capitol inside the confines of private conversation until you go to the press with it. But this has been a great and exciting week of Georgia Paul Radio. We hope you've enjoyed it. Sully has his usual hour next. I assume Rick Limpert and the rest of the cast of characters will be with him in the next hour. Check us out. This will be podcast on georgiapaul.com. Get all the news there.